Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Colossians chapter number 1, and I'll read you a few verses here out of Colossians chapter number 1 tonight. Paul's writing to us, and it's interesting as I was studying this, several people, several writers, and I tend to agree with them, but says that Paul probably never even visited the church at Colossae, but he did write to it. There was some problems in it, and he wrote to it, and he's dealing with some things. I'm not going to take time to go into all of that. One of the things, especially in chapter number 2, that it's interesting to study, he's dealing with, we could say, a quote-unquote legalism, and just because we do something out of a quote-unquote ritual don't mean that we're going to heaven. Amen. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My works is not what's going to take me to heaven tonight. Being saved by the blood of the Lamb is what's going to take me to heaven. Amen. But I find that it's interesting how Paul addresses this church at Colossae. Look in verse number 1. He says this. I'll let you remain seated. He said this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now note what he says, praying always for you. So he opens it up addressing the book of Colossians and addressing the church at Colossae by saying, hey, I just want you to know that I am praying for you. And you know what? There's a lot of churches that I've never been to, but I pray for on a daily basis. Whenever you think about our missionaries tonight, and I think about this, Brother Chad Branch, which we don't support him monthly, but we helped him go to Bulgaria. He left out on Monday to go there, and early Monday morning I sent him a text message and said, preacher, I'm praying for you today. Hope everything goes great. I've not been to the church at Bulgaria, but I can pray for the church at Bulgaria. And Paul is saying, even though I may not be at Colossae, we know that he's probably in prison when he's writing this. He says, I am praying for you. He goes on, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the world of truth of the gospel. It says in verse 6, which came unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, and doeth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now, know what he says in verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of the will, of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now, I want to go back. Look what he said in verse number 9. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now, really, we could look at it this way. Verse number 9, he says that we're not ceasing, or I'm not ceasing to pray for you, And then he really tells them, here's what I'm praying for you. Here's what I'm asking God for you. And I want to talk to you about this thought for just a few minutes tonight, a prayer for the new year. A prayer for the new year. Now, Lord, I love you tonight, and thank you, God, for a wonderful 2024. Thank you, God, for meeting with us here at the church the way that you did, God, and everything that you've done. But, God, I pray that as we now enter into this new year, God, that we wouldn't live in the past, but, God, help us to focus on the future and what you have for us. God, keep us close to you. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help in Kids for Christ tonight, be with each and every teacher there. Then, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with Brother Elijah and Teen Church and help him. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, this is Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. Paul's prayer for this church and he is talking to them and dealing with them, and he's saying, hey, I want you to know that I am praying for you. I thought about this week as I've studied on this. If there's one thing that we probably fail at on a daily basis, and that is praying the way that we should. I've said this many times, but the one thing that the disciples asked for from Jesus was, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. I think that there is some things that we can see from Paul's prayer here to the church of Colossae that we can add to our lives today and that we can add to our prayer lives and that we can pray for each other and for our church in this new year. Let me give you three things and we'll go home. Number one, Paul's prayer for the church of Colossae was a prayer for perception. It was a prayer for perception. Look again in verse number 9. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with knowledge and of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what he says? He says, I'm praying that you will have perception. Can I say this? In this new year, we should pray that we have perception. In other words, simply put, a understanding of what God would have us to do. An understanding, a knowledge of what God would have us to do. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in James chapter number 1 in verse number 5. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, if you lack knowledge, if you lack perception, if you lack wisdom, if you'll ask of God, he'll give it to you. Now, I want to say this to you. I believe that first and foremost and primarily that is dealing with a spiritual context. If we lack wisdom of the Word of God, we can ask God and God will give that to us. However, I believe that there is a practical application that can be made there also to this, that if we lack wisdom on what to do in our life, we can go to God, we can ask God for that, and I believe that God will guide us in that. Not long ago, several days ago, I was sitting in a meeting and I asked a young man a question. And he kindly hem-hawed around whenever he began to answer me. And I just stopped him and I said, man, that decision you're fixing to make is wrong. I said, because you should have, it was a big decision that he was talking about. I said, you should have been able to look at me and give me a Bible verse and say, the reason I'm going to do it is because I prayed about it and God through his word spoke to me. And here's the reason that I'm going to do it. If we lack wisdom, I promise you, church, we've got a God that will give us the wisdom that we need. Our prayer in this new year should be a prayer for perception. We need the mind of God. We need the wisdom of God. We need the knowledge of God in these days. Paul wanted the church at Colossae to have wisdom or understanding of some things. Can I show this to you? He wanted them to have an understanding of, watch this, the will of God for their life. the will of God. What did he say? He said this, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. I remember one time my mom said this. She said, the will of God is not some unknown mystery. You know, a lot of times we say, boy, I'm just trying to seek and find the will of God, and I'm diligently seeking the will of God. Hear me and hear me well. If you're seeking the will of God, he'll make that known to you. He'll make that known to you. I remember, whenever we was at Northwood and God began to deal in our heart about leaving and becoming a pastor, I'll never forget whenever we came here and I preached here the first time, and some of you heard me tell the whole story, but whenever we left that day, I'll never forget that as we went out the driveway, we drove past the house that we live in now, and Leslie said this. She said, you know what, if the Lord was to put us up here pastoring one day, it'd be something if we lived there. And I looked at her and I said, God's not going to put us up here pastoring where we're supposed to be. Boy, I know more than sitting. God smote me in the back of the head and confirmed in my heart right then and there out of the Word of God that this is where he was going to place us at. The will of God, God will give you perception. God will give you knowledge on his will. It's not a mystery. God, hey, hear me tonight. God's not the author of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. You know, a lot of people walk around, they'll preach, I'm just confused. I'm trying to find the will of God. Well, if you're confused, that's not the will of God. He's praying and he says, hey, look, church at Colossae, here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that you'll have a perception of the will of God. How are we going to do God's will if we don't understand what it is that God would have us to do? The phrase filled with the knowledge means to have full knowledge. And God is interested in giving you full knowledge of his will for your life. There's something that's very simple. It's his will for you to be saved. He's not slack concerning his promises. Some men kept slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will for you to go to church. Amen. Everybody ought to holler, amen, you're in church tonight. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together with believers. It's not God's will for you to sit at the house. It's God's will for you to be in church when the church doors is open. It's God's will. God will reveal his will to you. Ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will tonight. Tell him that you're willing to go wherever he wants you to go this year. Surrender your time, your talents, your treasures to him. And you know what he'll do? He'll take that and you'll use it. Here's what we do so many times when it comes to knowing the will of God. We say, God, I'll do this, but God, I'll do that, but God, I'll work with, I'll teach a Sunday school class as long as it's this group. And I just tell you something tonight, man. What you need to do is you need to say, God, here's me. Whatever it is that you want me to do, God, I just want to be in your will. Here's my time. Here's my talents. God, here's my treasures. I surrender all to you. He wanted them to have a knowledge of the will of God. One thing is for certain, if you're going to do God's will for this year in your life, you're going to have to know it. You say, well, preacher, what is it? That's between you and God. That's between you and God. I can't tell you God's will for your life. I just say this to you. I think sometimes God gives his servant and his under-shepherd of the church some wisdom on some things and some knowledge on some things. There has been times that I've sat down with people and I just looked them straight in the face and I said, as your pastor, I believe you're missing it right here. I believe that's wrong, but that's between you and God. You're the one that's got to stand before God for you. You know what? I would never call no names, but over the past 18 years, even preachers has come back to me and said, preacher, you is exactly right. I sure wish I'd have listened to you. Hey, God will reveal his will to you if you'll let him. He says, I pray for a perception of the will of God, but not only for a perception of the will of God, watch this. Paul prayed for a perception of the Word of God. What did he say? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. spiritual understanding. You know, Chad, the reason that we don't understand more of the Bible than we do, it's because we don't apply ourselves to learning more of the Bible than we do. Are you with me? You know what? If you just picked up any book and decided I'm going to flip open to the middle of it and read a little bit out of the middle of it and try to figure out what's going on. Are you with me tonight? We've got to apply ourselves to understand the Word of God. We've got to apply. Let me tell you, one of the best places to get understanding of the Word of God, not only underneath the preaching of God's Word, but in Sunday school on Sunday mornings, man. I'm telling you, we've got the greatest Sunday school teachers in the country, man. I'm telling you, we do. If you want to know more about the Word of God, oh, well, preacher, you know, I just can't get here. It's just too early. Coming to Sunday school on Sunday morning is a Saturday decision. It's not a Sunday morning decision. It's a Saturday decision. It's before you lay your head down at night on Saturday night. You know what? If we can get to the deer stand at 5 o'clock in the morning, if we can get to the lake at 5 o'clock in the morning, if we can get to the job, you say, well, you're not paying me to come to church. That's exactly right. It's not about getting a paycheck, man. It's about a knowledge of the Word of God. If you want to know more about the Word of God, you've got to apply yourself. I don't say this much, but I've got an earned doctorate degree of theology. And I went through Bible college. I done my associates, I done my bachelor's, I done my graduate, I done my master's, and I done my earned doctorate of theology. Let me tell you the reason I wanted to do that. Don't make me no more of a preacher. I'm no more of a preacher with a doctorate degree than I was July the 24th, 1996, when God called me to preach. I'm no different of a preacher. Let me tell you what it does do, though. It gives me a better knowledge of the Word of God. Bible college does two things for you. Number one, it teaches you to study and makes you to be disciplined to study if you're going to pass. And number two, it gives you a better knowledge of the Word of God because you're constantly in it. You say, can a man be a preacher and not go to Bible? Why, yes, he can be. But the Bible did say this: study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed. Amen. You know what? I just come to this conclusion. God called me to preach, and if he counted me worthy of putting me in the ministry, the least thing that I could do was to apply myself to a better understanding of the Word of God. Well, that's going over like a lead balloon, but you ought to say amen to it. I wanted to know more, man. I wanted to know more about the Bible. Paul is praying and he says, hey, I'm praying that you have an understanding of the will of God, but of the Word of God. And let me tell you where you'll find the will of God at. You'll find the will of God in the Word of God. I thought about this. Let me just read you something. Go with me. Go with me to Psalms. We're in no hurry tonight. Psalms 119, Elijah's always longer-winded than I am. Psalms 119, y'all tell him I said that afterwards. Psalms 119, look what the Bible said in verse number 9. Psalms 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a question. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man, and can I just say this, there's a practical application that can go to everybody right there. How can we clean our ways up? Look what he says. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought after thee. Oh, let me not wander from, watch this, thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testaments as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. what he says? He says, man, here's what I'm going to meditate on. As I go throughout the day, I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. Look what he says, man. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Boy, is that not good tonight? He said, I'm not going to forget your word. I'm not going to forget the statutes. Man, look how many times just in those few verses the word of God is mentioned. Here's what he said in Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Say, preacher, I'm trying to figure out the will of God. I'm trying to figure out which way to go. Paul says to the church of Colossae, hey, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that you have an understanding of the will of God and the Word of God, that you've got knowledge in the Word of God. What did he say in Psalms 119:105? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've thought about this many times. You know, the devil hates the Word of God. Do you know that? He hates the Word of God. And matter of fact, I just poured water all over me. Matter of fact, get dried off. All right, here we go. Matter of fact, whenever we meet the devil, the first characteristic we find out about Satan in Genesis 3, you know what it is? Yea, hath God said. The very first thing the devil does, Brother Josh, is attack the Word of God. That's the very first thing he does. You want me to tell you the reason you don't read this the way that you should? It's because he knows it will change your life. He knows that this right here will help you. You remember, I'm going to give you these last two points here in just a minute, I think, and we'll go home. You remember Matthew 4, I read back through it again today. I was there in the office studying him. I read back through Matthew 4 today. And you know what happens in Matthew 4? It's the Mount of Temptation. Satan begins to tempt Jesus Christ. Time out, just a second. Number one, he tempted Eve and Adam in the garden. It was made in the image of God and was in a perfect environment. Number two, he tempted Christ. Jesus Christ himself. Satan was dumb enough that he thought he could get Christ to mess up. Satan was wise enough that he did get Adam and Eve to mess up. So the moral of the story is this. Don't think for a minute he's not going to come after you. You think your spiritual life is too strong for him. You ain't fooling nobody but yourself, buddy. How did Christ defeat Satan? Three different times he says this phrase. It is written. As a matter of fact, he quotes the Old Testament in all three of those sayings. Let me tell you what he done. He defeated Satan with the Word of God. Why does Satan hate the Bible? Why is Paul saying that I'm praying for you to have wisdom of the will of God and of the Word of God? Here's the reason he's praying that. Because he knows Satan hates it. And Satan will do everything he can do to keep you out of this blessed book right here. Because I promise you it will change your life. And it'll change your family's life. It'll change your children's life. Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. It's the Word of God. So as Paul prays for this church of Colossae, what can we pray for in this new year? I would say we need to pray for a perception, an understanding of the will of God and of the Word of God. But I would say this, look in verse number 10. With my whole heart have I, that's Psalms. Let me go back to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 10 now. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What did he say? Being fruitful. Number one, he prays for perception. But number two, I would say this tonight. He prays for prosperity. For prosperity. And I'm not, can I just say this to you tonight? I'm not a wealth and fame preacher. That's not what I'm talking about. But he does say this, being fruitful in every good work. Paul, as he prayed for the church at Colossae, prayed that they might be prosperous in Samaria. Can I give you two of them? Number one, he prayed that they might be prosperous, that they would have prosperity in their walk. What did he say? That she might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Paul prayed that the believer at Colossae would be prosperous in their walk with the Lord. My prayer for each of you this year is that you are prosperous in your walk with Him. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? That you grow in the Lord, man. That at the end of 2025, you have a better understanding of the will of God and the Word of God than you do right now. He said, man, I'm praying that you will be prosperous in your walk. First and foremost, your walk with the Lord. But can I say this? I also pray that you are prosperous in your financial walk. You say, well, preacher, why in the world would you pray that? Well, if you hadn't figured this out yet, you got to have money to live. Church ain't a welfare program. We're not going to keep you up, okay? A lot of people think that's what the church is for, is to be a welfare program. But, man, I can't find that in the Word of God. I can find that they helped a widow indeed. That's completely different than a widow. A lot of people see that and they say, well, the church is spoken. No, it's for the widow indeed. In other words, she doesn't have any children. She has no family. It's just her. She has no family. But watch this. I pray that God blesses you. You hear me tell you one way for God to bless you this year? Don't nobody fall out with me right here. You give to Him what belongs to Him. You give to Him what belongs to Him. I preached on tithing the other night. Boy, I thank the Lord. Man, I went over it Sunday, and what all the Lord brought through our church last year is absolutely amazing. And we was able, this week we'll be able to do another $20,000 principal payment from the offering on Sunday. God blessed us again with a great offering on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. We don't give to have a great big offering. We give because that's what God commands us to do. And if you want God to bless your walk and be prosperous, then you give to Him what's already His. Number one, he prayed that they would be prosperous in their walk, but he prayed that they'd be prosperous in their work. In their work, what did he say? Being fruitful in every good work. Now, I want you to understand something right here. He is not praying that they would be prosperous down at the mill or making a tent or plowing in the field. He says this, being fruitful in every good work. He is dealing with the work of God. I want to say this to you tonight. My prayer is this. That Sunday morning, when Brother Aaron gets ready to teach in youth church, or Brother Josh, whoever it is Sunday, that they are prosperous in their work. You know what my prayer is? That you as a Sunday school teacher, as you stand up Sunday morning to teach, that it's not just some lesson. Somebody give me an amen right there. It's not just something you've read out of a book, but somewhere along the way this week, you've steeled yourself away from everybody else, from the youngest class to the oldest class, and you've said, God, would you use me as I open your word and teach those kids and those adults today. May God help our work to be prosperous this year. May God help our work to be prosperous this year. He says, I pray that your work will be prosperous. Paul prayed, I'm about done. Paul prayed that the church would be able to perceive the will of God and the work of God. He prayed that they would be prosperous in their walk with God and in their work for God. But I give you this, and I preached all night to get to this last one. Look in verse 11. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 says this: strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. He prayed for perception. He said you need to understand some things. He not only prayed for perception, he prayed for prosperity, that they would be fruitful in some areas. But then number three, Paul prayed for power. Paul prayed for power. Look what he said in verse number 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. According to his glorious power. Can I tell you what we must have at Amazing Grace Baptist Church? We must have the anointing and the filling and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. We've got to have Him. We can have everything outlined right. We can have good singing, and we do. We can have great musicians, and we do. We can have a Bible message, and I'm not a great preacher, but I do know that I'm going to give you the Word of God. We can have a Bible message. We can have a house full of people. We can have thousands of dollars to pay on this or pay on that. We can send hundreds of thousands of dollars a year across the sea to a mission field, but all of it is in vain unless we have the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Understand this tonight. We have got to have Him. Let me tell you the reason some people get up and they sing, and even though they may hit part of the notes right, nobody is moved by it, because there's no anointing on it. There's no power to it. There's no substance to it. I'll never forget. Last year I was in a meeting. I'm not going to call where it was at, but it was a pretty good-sized meeting, and I went one night. I was preaching another night of it, but I went one night to kind of see what the atmosphere was like. And I got there that night, and I sat down towards the back, and a group got up to sing, and whenever they got up to sing, they sung one song, and I thought, well, that's all right. And to be honest with you, as far as harmony and everything, brother, and I'd heard some a whole lot better. I thought, well, that's all right. And then before they sung the next song, one of them started testifying. And about, I don't know, 15 seconds into that testimony, I thought, I believe this is going to be all right. And about 45 seconds into that testimony, the big preacher showed up. They started singing the next song. They weren't all on the same key. And let me tell you the reason they wouldn't. It wasn't because they hadn't practiced, but it's because God had showed up. I'd heard people sing the song a whole lot better, but I'd never heard nobody sing it with that much anointing and that much power on it. Hey, I don't care if the choir gets up and hits every note just right. If it don't have the touch of God on it, it's not worth a plug nickel tonight, man. I'm telling you, we need God. We need the anointing of God. We need the power of God. If God's not going to help us, man, we might as well sit at the house. He says, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying for power down at the church at Colossae. And you tell you what we need to pray in 2025. We need to pray for the power of God. We need to pray that when people walk in that's lost and on the road to hell, that they're not comfortable. We need to pray that they get saved or they have to leave because the conviction is so strong. You say, I'm serious, man. We need to pray that whenever they drive by the parking lot of Amazing Grace Baptist Church and they're lost, they go, man, there's something different. I don't even want to drive by that place because there's something different up there. Yes, I'm for having everything looking right. I'm for having this in line and that in line and all the music just right. I'm telling you what I'm for more than anything in this world, and that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. If we don't have it, we don't have nothing. He said, I pray for power. I pray for power. I pray for power. And tell you what I'm praying for in this new year. Oh, I'm praying. I'm praying for perception. I'm praying for prosperity. But more than anything, I'm praying for power. Let me tell you the reason we need power. Come start playing softly. Let me tell you the reason we need power. Here's the reason. We need the power of God to endure. To endure. What did he say in verse number 11? Unto all patience and long suffering. There's sometimes that we just endure. You hear me? Now, I wouldn't take nothing for the journey. God ain't never done me wrong. Somebody holler amen. They sometimes we sit back and go, what's people thinking? What in the world is people thinking? People will hurt you. Somebody say amen. We'll think, Lord, is this really the way it's supposed to be? Hear me tonight. Just stay with it. And let me tell you what will keep you going is when that power of God sits down in your life. Amen. I tell you, man, I can be going through some of the hardest days and I can get up and start preaching and the power of God settle down. And son, it's like you forgot about everything. Some of you sitting in here tonight that sings, I've seen God do it in your life. You've been at hard times in your life and you got up and started singing and the power of God sat down in a service. Why? Because you've been... We need the power of God to endure. But can I say this? We need the power of God to enjoy. Because what did he say in verse 11? Strengthened with all might according to his good or his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. Watch this. With joyfulness. With joyfulness. If I could wrap it up, I'd wrap it up this way. Here's practically what Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. Practically, here's what he says. Lord, help the Colossians to understand your will and your word. Help them to prosper in their walk and in their work. And give them your power to endure the difficulties and still enjoy the journey. That's what he says. Can I just read that to you again? Here's what he says. Lord, can I just say it this way? Here's my prayer for Amazing Grace. Lord, help the people at Amazing Grace to understand your will and your word. Help them to prosper in their walk and in their work. And give them your power to endure the difficulties and still enjoy the journey. Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae, a prayer for our new year, should be what Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. Father, as we